All right, Sup. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being out there. We appreciate you. Without you guys, we would not be able to do this dumb show every day. And you know what's important, John, to me and to all of us, I think? Loyalty.
Oh, boy.
Loyalty is important. And there are people that have stuck with us through different stations, through time slot changes, every time slot on the station. And we appreciate those people especially. Don't you?
Well, it's the only way you stay in the air.
You never say thank you to the listeners.
I say it when I meet them individually.
Yeah. But you never say it on the show. You never say thank you very much.
I think you're a little bit of a poser when you do that. But you do it, so go ahead.
Wait a minute. You think I'm a poser?
Yeah. I mean,
What does that mean?
It means that it's something you say when it's like, I'm trying to think of what a good comp would be. It's something you say like, Bill O'Reilly or somebody when they're doing a show. Good evening. We really appreciate you watching. And then the minute the camera goes off, they scream at somebody.
But you don't think I'm like that.
Well, you don't do
like
it anymore.
I'm genuinely thankful for the people that listen. Calling me a poser is unbelievably offensive.
John, the way you say, well, you don't do it anymore.
No, it's well, Mason will admit that. Mason will admit that in the early days, he was that guy. But he's changed for the better.
Yeah,
you would admit that, right?
That I am?
That you used to be that guy.
Oh, yeah, I was a total jerk. Total jerk. Now, I think about it now. I think about what a total jerk I was when I was coming up. I was so obnoxious, full of myself, arrogant. Yeah,
you
no, I did.
It out.
What happened was I went to New York and I got humbled.
See, sometimes that does it.
Yeah, no, sometimes that just about broke me. And so since then,
hubris comes before the fall.
Yes, and it fell, man.
So your fall was in New York and then it humbled you.
Yes. So, John, this happened while I was gone, but I've reached this conclusion, and so did somebody from USA Today who wrote this article. This is Andy Nesbitt from USA Today. Urban Meyer is a joke, he writes. And he thinks that Shad Khan should just step in, admit he got this wrong, and send Meyer out of town. Now, I don't go that far. I don't go as far as Andy Nesbitt from USA Today. But I do agree with what Paul Feinbaum says, and Jorge, follow me here, what Paul Feinbaum says about what happened last week with Urban Meyer and that strength coach he tried to hire.
Anyone who has followed Urban Meyer closely knew he would run into something like this at some point. I didn't think it would be before the opening of training camp, before the draft, but that's Urban Meyer. He doesn't care what you think or I think. He doesn't care about common sense or decency. He only cares about what he thinks. And it's the same thing that happened at Ohio State with Zach Smith. Totally different set of circumstances, but Urban Meyer believes in someone. He doesn't care what his advisors say. He doesn't care what the media says. He just does it. And this was far worse because this wasn't enabling a favorite son of his, someone that he cared deeply about, that he was trying to help because of old family ties. This was someone who had been disgraced, who had been shipped out, sent packing by Iowa. And for Urban Meyer to say, yeah, I vetted him. Where did he vet him? Did he not read the accounts of why Iowa fired this guy? That is just so typical Urban Meyer. And it's one reason why I don't think this experiment is going to work in the NFL.
And I agree with Paul Feinbaum. And I think the one thing Urban Meyer found out last week, and we'll see if it's a lesson that he's really learned. You know, you can get away with stuff in Gainesville. You can get away with stuff in Columbus when you're winning. You can get away with stuff in whatever the hell city Utah's in. What's University of Utah?
Salt Lake.
Salt Lake. Or Bowling Green, my alma mater. You can get away with stuff. In the NFL, you've got so many people following you. You've got so many people writing for you, writing about you. And you're not going to slip one by the national media in terms of Urban Meyer. This was a terrible mistake, a terrible look to hire somebody who just got fired from doing racist stuff at Iowa and trying to slip him through. I think that's the kind of arrogance that will lead to a really, really difficult run and ultimately a disastrous run for Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. What do you think?
I have two thoughts. Okay, number one, what is a common thread with a lot of head coaches is that they're uncompromising. Feinbaum kind of described it. It's that they do things their way and you can't talk them out of it. Like, I would say Bill Belichick is uncompromising. Nick Saban is uncompromising. The reason Urban Meyer has won his whole career, wherever he's been, you mentioned all the places, Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State. He's won everywhere because he's got something in his head that he knows works for him. So I think he looks to attract other uncompromising people, you know, people like these two coaches that got him in trouble. And so I think he's going to need to realize that now, as you put it, he's under a bigger microscope. More people are going to pay attention to what he's doing because he's in the NFL. But it's weird because what got him there was to be uncompromising. The second thing is, I think what he tried to do is a byproduct of the times. Like, look at Chris Harrison, the host of The Bachelor.
Right.
He did something the other day that was, I think, 5 years ago, maybe even 3 years ago, nobody blinks twice at. But in the wake of George Floyd and in the wake of racial injustice protests in this country.
Wait a minute. Didn't he defend some girl after going to a plantation-themed party 2 years ago?
A girl that's still on The Bachelor. Now, she's like still on it, and he said what she needs and what we all should give her is a little kindness and a little compassion. I think 3 years ago, he probably gets away with that, but in the wake of what we've been through as a country in the last year, people just aren't having it anymore. And I think when Urban Meyer tried to slip this guy in, who was accused of being a racist, people aren't having it anymore. Racial attitudes have changed in this country. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing.
This happened. This isn't like something they dug up from the past. This is something that literally just happened in June.
Right. But I'm saying that maybe
he got fired for doing racist stuff and they tried to hire him in a league that is raising awareness for social justice
right.
in terms of systematic black racism.
That's my point, is that there's never been more attention paid to racial issues and racial injustice. So for Urban to try it under that cloud, under that umbrella, is incredibly weird. I don't know what he didn't see. But my only thing is it's got to be that he's uncompromising, that he's used to doing things, like Feinbaum said, exactly what he wants. He doesn't care what other people think. And he got burned on this one because he's unaware that the climate has changed. How many times, Mace, do we hear, and we don't really know what to do with them, old interviews that are incredibly cringeworthy and offensive?
Right.
You know, like the stuff with John Wayne that somebody dug up from, like, the 1970s. And it just, the reason that it strikes a chord now is because times have changed, and people that don't change with them are going to get burned like Urban Meyer did on this one.
Well, I would argue that John Wayne was an artifact of his time.
Could be.
A lot of these things are artifacts of their time. Like, this whole Washington owned slaves, Jefferson owned slaves, horrible, horrible, horrible things, slavery. But they were an artifact of their times. That was just a reality in that era of the country, in that terrible, dark era. This is very recent history. Very recent history. Now, I watched the Britney Spears documentary while
so
I was
did
on
I.
break.
Yeah, so did I.
So, and all I could think was how many jokes I made about Britney Spears and you made about Britney Spears.
Sure.
She was a subject for goofing, and they showed clips from, like, Letterman and Jay Leno and all that stuff. People, while she was going through this, what was clearly a mental health crisis, making jokes about it. And I know Justin Timberlake apologized for something or other, making it seem like she was unfaithful
right.
or whatever that was.
Times have changed.
Times
man.
Have changed. I mean, now.
Have you seen the interview with Letterman and Lindsay Lohan?
Yes.
See, so that, you know, I wonder if Dave will come out and apologize for that. I mean, it's just like, you couldn't do that now.
No.
I'm not sure he's not going to have to apologize for doing it then.
And realistically, shouldn't have done it then, right?
Although
that was the currency of the realm, man. That was the way things were. We didn't have.
By the way, didn't you think Lindsay Lohan came off very good in that interview? The way
yes,
she handled
absolutely.
Herself?
Absolutely, yeah. I do. And I have new, not respect, I have a different understanding of Britney Spears after seeing that documentary. And by the way, it's on Hulu, and it is definitely worth watching.
Hey, did you get Hulu?
I did. I got Hulu.
Wow.
Finally.
Yeah, you're welcome to the new world.
I'm an official member of the Disney bundle.
Yeah, okay, so you're going to – there's a bunch of stuff. Watch the Beatles documentary on Hulu. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I will definitely. I will definitely. Yeah. But, I mean, I think about it now, and I think, you know, we now have a raised awareness about mental health issues. That's why, you know, I hesitated to criticize Kyrie Irving, who has talked about how he has struggled different times with his mental health.
I think that where you can criticize Kyrie, and we talked about, I can't remember if you were with us or if we did this when Momo was here, but the only thing I think Kyrie did wrong when he took a break is he didn't tell his team.
Yeah.
He didn't tell Steve Nash. Like if you announced today that you were taking the rest of the week off because you were battling mental health demons, I think good for you. But if you did it and didn't tell anybody, that you didn't tell me, you didn't tell Amanda, you just left, which right. is what Kyrie did, that's a different animal.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where I think you can criticize scenario. Kyrie. But for the reason he left, no. If he needs help, go get it.
So let me ask you something different here. I had this on my notes of things that I've been wondering about. Do you rinse your dishes before you put them in the washing machine?
I do. But you mean the dishwasher?
Dishwasher, yeah.
If you put your dishes in the washing machine, you're weird.
Yeah, no, in the dishwasher.
You know, we had this conversation last week when Keyshawn was on, right?
Oh, did you really? Yeah, but he does rinse.
I do too.
Yeah, most people do.
So I have been reading, and in fact, there was an ad on the Super Bowl about it, that you waste 20 gallons of water rinsing off your dishes, and that if you use the right dishwasher pod, that you don't need to rinse off your dishes. You should let the dishwasher do what it does.
I would argue in a pandemic, cleanliness is more important than saving water.
Yeah, but I mean, if the dishwasher does, like I always rinse off my dishes.
Right.
Always rinse off my dishes. But I want to run an experiment. And I think our friend Freddie's wife, Sarah Michelle Gellar, is doing something with this right now, talking about conservation of water, that you should be able to put your dishes in the dishwasher without rinsing them, and the dishwasher will do its job.
Well, I'm willing to try it, but I think in a pandemic, what you have to do is make sure you clean everything, too.
I've never met a dishwasher that cleans the dishes perfectly if you don't rinse them off.
When was the last time
never
you
heard
didn't?
Of that.
When was the last time you didn't? Because there was literally a commercial with
my
one
roommate
of those
never does,
says,
and I always have to take them out and scrape the stuff off of them and rinse them off and put them in again. It happens all the time.
Okay, as an experiment, I'm going to try not having one wash the dishes before okay. they go in.
Well, see, I never use my dishwasher. I just wash them by hand and leave them soaking.
You just wash them by hand. Yeah. Do you have a dishwasher?
I do, but we never use it.
Do you, Jorge? Do you use dish soap or no? Just
do
it with hot water.
Dish soap and a sponge, and then just rinse them out. Yeah.
So you just have a waste of a dishwasher.
Well, I mean, this is
not if he doesn't
there.
Use it. It's just taking up space.
Yeah, it's taking up space. Yeah, I. I'm going to try it because of the waste 20 gallons of water thing that I keep hearing. Hmm. So I'm going to give it a shot, and I will let you know on the experiment. John, I think you should try it once.
Try it once. Sure, why not?
All right, coming up next for you is The Scoop. All the stuff in sports that we haven't gotten to yet. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Yeah. All right, it is scoop time, and let's see where we're going to start today. John, you know, I talk about Bitcoin a lot because I was an early adopter of Bitcoin. And there is an NFL player who was also an early adopter. His name is Russell Okung. He is
he's playing for the Chargers, right?
Yeah, asked for half of his salary to be in Bitcoin. Now, I estimated that based on when he signed his contract, that his $6.5 million in Bitcoin is now worth $39 million because Bitcoin has gone from about $8,000 to $50,000. So $39 million is what he made because he was paid in Bitcoin. What do you think of Okung getting paid in Bitcoin, and do you still think Bitcoin is a flash in the pan?
I don't know if I think it's a flash in the pan, but it's still not something I personally would invest in. I don't trust it. I keep thinking about that story you told me about the guy in San Francisco that he has $30 million in Bitcoin that he can't get to because he can't remember his password, and he's used 8 out of 9 attempts. So he's just, he may never get his money. That's what would happen to me. So I won't invest in Bitcoin. But I hope you and Lindsay and all these other people that have some money in it make a fortune. I hope Russell Okung makes a fortune.
Yeah, I do not give any investing advice. You should never actually listen to me. But I started in Bitcoin pretty early, and it's paid off.
It's going to pay for all these vacations you're taking?
Right, but I would not tell anybody to get into it now because I think it's really expensive. Lindsay, are you still in it, or did you lose your password?
I mean, the ones that I bought a long time ago, I don't know, because that was back when they had all those weird like random websites with the like the wallets that people didn't like. It was too new back then. And then there was a long story short, one of the websites kind of like collapsed, and a lot of people lost their Bitcoin. That's what ended up happening because it was that long ago.
How many did you have?
I spent like, I don't know, $100 on it back in like 2012 or something.
Well, that 2012, that was enough to buy multiple Bitcoins.
Right, right. It was.
You would be worth $250,000 right now.
Sure.
Sure.
Doesn't that kill you?
No, not really, because, I mean.
Easy come, easy go, mate.
Easy come, easy go. $250,000 here.
Wasn't meant to be.
Wasn't meant to be. All right. Ireland, it's to you.
All right, Mace, you had a story in The Scoop a few weeks ago, and you claimed you were incredibly offended by something the Washington Post did. When Marty Schottenheimer died,
yes,
the Post put a headline on that story, quote, Marty Schottenheimer, NFL coach whose teams wilted in the postseason,
yes,
dies at 77.
Brutal.
Why do you think that was brutal?
Because that shouldn't be the lead. The lead should be 8th winningest coach in NFL history dies.
Okay.
You shouldn't lead with his teams wilted in the playoffs. That's a horrible way to headline a story and ope it.
Okay, so with that in mind, today Rush Limbaugh died.
Yes.
I'm going to read you the headline on the Huffington Post article that announces his death.
This okay? is a liberal hack page.
Well, here's the headline. Rush Limbaugh, bigoted king of talk radio, dies at 70. Okay with that? Fair or unfair?
Unfair. I mean, you can go ahead and dance on his grave in a couple of days, but on the day the guy dies, you should just let him die.
I agree with you. I think Phil Jackson used to say, when people would ask him about Red Auerbach, who I don't think Phil liked very much.
Yep.
Phil used to say, it's not right to speak ill of the dead. And I think he's right. I think that especially, to your point, on the day that they die, just let the people pass away in peace. I mean, that's even if you can't stand them, give them a day.
I mean, you have your political views and all that stuff. And Huffington Post is a way left website. So they're obviously going to take that point of view, and I'm sure cable channels that lean left are going to have that point of view. Cable channels that lean right are going to say, you know, hero passes away. But I think all of that dancing on the grave should be reserved for tomorrow.
or at least a day.
Yeah, at least a day.
Give the guy a day. It's to you.
Yeah, just one day. All right. According to The Athletic, the city of St. Louis wants more than $1 billion over the relocation of the Rams to Los Angeles, where they belong. St. Louis wants a slice of the value of Los Angeles Rams owner Stan Kroenke's team, his real estate holdings, and part of the increase in price tags on the 31 other NFL teams over the last decade. By now, nearly 4 years after the city of St. Louis, St. Louis County, and the St. Louis Regional Sports Convention and Sports Complex Authority sued the league and its 32 teams over the 2016 relocation of the Rams to LA. It had been reported the suit was seeking more than $1 billion. John, is the city of St. Louis entitled to any damages based on the Rams coming home to LA?
Zero. I read this. I was going to ask you about this. I read this lawsuit in detail. Basically, what they're claiming is when the Rams were thinking about moving, they put together a proposal. They spent a lot of money on it. To try and keep them in St. Louis, like renovations they would make to the stadium, changes they would make to the area around the stadium, you know, stuff like that. When they didn't get the Rams, when the Rams decided to move back to LA anyway, then they enact this lawsuit, which is included. You mentioned they're asking for $1 billion. You can't justify the billion any way you look at it. It's for future lost revenue, according to the city. But where were they when they stole the Rams from L.A. back in the 90s?
Right. We didn't get anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who owners have been changing. Do you realize? And by the way, Oakland, the city of Oakland, tried to do this to the Raiders when they moved to Las Vegas and they threw it out of court in a heart. This thing's getting thrown out. I'm surprised it's lasted as long as it did. You can't make somebody stay with you. You can't. This is like somebody who gets a divorce and then they sue their ex for leaving.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
No, you can't do it. It makes no sense at all. I'm sure it's devastating to the St. Louis economy and all that stuff. But the Rams actually didn't even break their lease. Their lease was up. They moved when their lease was up. They didn't even walk away from that. So, yeah, no, I'm not sure what St. Louis is arguing about. I'm sure it's devastating to the local sports community and all that stuff. But I'm sorry, you get no money from Stan Kroenke, and you get no money from the NFL.
Agree. Yeah. Okay. Lindsay, when she does Radio Tinder, plays a game sometimes. I think she got it off of Reddit, where she plays a game, Am I the A-hole? Where she tells a story, and then you determine which person in the story is more of a jerk. Okay? So I'm going to tell you a story about something that happened to me last night at the ESPN LA studios. Okay? So they've moved all of us into the parking garage, which is directly below the studio, because there is no one at LA Live anymore. LA Live is an absolute ghost town. So in this parking lot, there's probably 500-600 spaces. Nobody is in there.
Wow.
So Michael and I always park as close to the elevator as we can. Now, those spots are reserved for Herbalife, okay? Because Herbalife is above us. So yesterday, I'm doing the show with you. I leave at 3:30. I get there about 4:30. I'm on the air at 5:15. And right before I get on the air, Adam Bronstein, our producer, walks into the studio and says, John, you need to move your car.
Okay.
And I said, okay, why? Is something wrong? He goes, you're parked in an Herbalife space. And I said, Adam,
the whole thing is empty.
There are 200 Herbalife spaces right next to my car. This is parking exclusively for Herbalife. He goes, I know, but they want you out. And I couldn't go because we were too close to the start of the game, and Adam went down and moved my car. But so I fully admit I'm at fault. I parked in a space labeled for Herbalife to shorten my walk. But somebody from Herbalife called it in when there were, I'm not kidding, 100 empty spaces right next to mine. Who's at fault there? Me for parking in a marked spot or him for calling it in?
Well, I mean, was there a name on the spot?
No.
Because I would say if there's a name on the spot,
it says
that makes
this
it
spot
slightly
reserved
difference
for Herbalife. Now, it could be an assigned spot in Herbalife, but there was no number on it. There was no, it just says this spot reserved.
Now, Jorge just told me there are numbers.
Yeah, there's
on the
numbers
floor
on the floor for some of these spots. I try to get the ones that are not for AEG or Herbalife or whatever.
Okay, so George, what do you think? Am I at fault here or the guy who called me in?
No, the guy who called it in, because you show up after hours. They leave after 3 or 5 or whatever it is.
Yeah, I parked at about 4:45.
Yeah, it's their fault. Yeah, it's totally
their fault. If the parking lot is wide open, it's completely and totally their fault.
You know, and it strikes me as what you have nothing better to do than play parking lot cop? I mean, come on. I mean, we're in a pandemic. Let people park as close to work as they can. There's 200 empty. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm never going to park in an Herbalife spot anymore.
Why not? Yeah, but, I wouldn't do it.
And by the way, Michael was also parked in an Herbalife spot. Nobody said anything to him.
And it was just you.
Yeah, and I said, well, why do you think that is? He goes, they don't want to make it a racial issue.
That's what it always leads to with Michael. Always leads to that.
Yeah.
All right, there you have it. There's your scoop for today. Coming up next, random lines from movies that if you're a fan of it, you will instantly know. That's coming up next. We all have picked out lines, and you will instantly know, if you're a fan of the movie, what movie it is. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Sure, that one was...
Boogie Nights!
Boogie Nights! A movie that holds up and is a classic to this day. All right, so this segment's got a chance to be a real you-know-what show. So...
No way!
It does. It does. So, we'll do a couple of these. 877-710-ESPN. Here's the bit, and this is passing around Twitter right now. Random line from a movie that fans of it will instantly know. Okay, so that's we'll do a couple of these with callers and give away Mason and Ireland T-shirts. But we all have lines. John, we will quiz each other with these lines. We'll let Jorge line up the phones. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. We'll give a couple of callers a chance at this. All right, so, Lindsay, did you do this?
Yep, it was my idea. Remember?
Did you do this?
It was her idea. All right. Let's give Lindsay credit for this you-know-what show. All right. Lindsay, give us
number
one.
Wait a minute. Let's make it clear. My idea was sharing the one lines from the movies. I had nothing to do with this whole contest of people of sorts. So
okay.
Just,
of people
just
of
clarifying.
Sorts.
Yes.
All right. 877-710-ESPN. Do you want to try one, Jorge?
Let's try it. We got Dennis. We'll do it with Lindsay's line. How about that?
Okay, Dennis, we're going to do it with Lindsay's line. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
Good, man. So if you know what movie this line comes from, you win a Mason and Ireland T-shirt. Ready?
I just want to point out that I gave this line before we decided on this contest, and now knowing that we're doing a contest, it's going to be very distinguishable what movie it's from.
Well, that's
so if
good.
You don't
we'll,
get it,
we'll
I'll
give
be very
away a
disappointed.
Mason and Ireland T-shirt. That's great for Dennis.
Yes.
All right.
I don't even own a gun, let alone many guns that would necessitate an entire rack.
I have no clue.
Ah,
what?
That's too bad. Sorry, Dennis.
Dead giveaway.
That is a dead giveaway. That line is from Wayne's World.
Yeah, I feel like that's so easy because that it's obvious that he's doing the Wayne voice, right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
But
all right, John, what do you got? 877-710-ESPN.
All right, Jorge, get rid of my number three. It's too hard. Okay, we're going to go with the number two on my email, okay? See, this is too hard. Jorge can't do seven things at once.
Oh, he is so good at doing seven things at once.
You take it away, Mason.
There's nobody better. Nobody better.
Moving parts.
All right, many moving parts. Jorge, do we have another caller?
You have
Dustin. Dustin, yes. Welcome to the show. What's going on, man?
Hey, I'm just loving your guys' show like always. Thank you.
Thank you, man. We appreciate you, Dustin. All right, so here is my first line. Jorge, go ahead and play it.
We have a pool and a pond. A pond would be good for you. Natural spring.
Oh, yeah, or you know, a pool or a pond.
All right, Dustin, what movie is that from?
Oh, man, I could barely make it out.
I'll read it to you. We got a pool and a pond. A pond would be good for you.
I don't have it.
Ah, sorry, man. Thank you for trying. All right. I'll do one now. What are you laughing about?
No, I want to hear yours.
Okay. Jorge, who's on the line? From now on, we just read them. Jorge, who's on the line? What is your name, sir?
Brian Gaines.
Hey, Brian Gaines. I'm glad we got your full name. Brian Gaines is on the line. All right. Here is the line. It's funny how, I mean, funny like a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh.
Man, this is tough, dude.
You don't know
I'm
that?
Funny how?
Come on.
I mean, funny like a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh.
Play the sound.
That's the line. What is
That's
the line?
Oh, easy.
All right, sorry, Brian. Better luck like next time.
Okay. John,
smooth
we all know
like
this, right?
Butter.
Lindsay, do you know this?
No. I don't know.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny yeah, like I'm a clown. Fellas. I amuse you. I make you laugh. Yeah, good fellas. Should be an easy one.
Now that Ireland? You say it, I recognize it.
Lindsay, what's your next one?
I only did the one. I didn't know we had
May, I got one. I got another one, Mace, that I did in your honor.
Okay, good.
All right, go ahead, Jorge. Hit it.
It's all happening.
It's all happening. It's all happening.
It's all happening. Do you know what that's from?
Almost Famous.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great one. That's where the old slogan came from.
Yeah. Now,
it actually came from something that was tattooed on Stassi's arm on Vanderpump Rules.
Very true. Now, my number one, Mace, I thought would be the same as your number one. Okay?
Okay.
So let's see if it is. Jorge, play my number one.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Now, that one is very, very easy. I made mine slightly tougher than that. That is obviously The Godfather.
Right.
Yeah. So, Jorge, do you have my first one?
Just when I thought I was out. They pull me back in.
Just when I thought I was
well,
out,
that's,
they pull me back
that's
in.
Godfather 3, which a lot of people don't like, but I thought was okay.
And that line is a line that people know.
Right.
All right. What one do you have?
This is mine, here.
Oh, this is one.
88 miles per hour!
88 miles per hour.
Come on, that is very easy.
Back to the future.
Yeah, back to the future.
Back to the future.
Come on.
Is that when they were trying to get the DeLorean to, you know, get the lightning to hit the clock?
No,
kind
that's
of thing?
When it took off out of
oh,
the mall,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Here, I got one more.
One more.
On.
Come with me if you want to live.
Oh, that's an easy one.
That's Terminator, right?
That's
Terminator.
Right.
Yeah.
Love that.
By the way, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. It's got to be the answer, right? It's got to be the most quotable movie line of all time, right?
1,000%.
Either that or, frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn.
What about Play It Again, Sam?
Oh, good. Yeah, but I don't think Lindsay knows what that's from. Do you know what that's from, Lindsay?
Nope.
Jorge, do you?
I don't.
Play It Again, Sam?
It was in theaters when Michael Thompson was in a story.
I'm not even sure Michael knows that.
It's called Casablanca.
Yeah, that's from Casablanca.
Okay, I've got one more, John.
Okay.
Jorge, you probably didn't pull this because it needs a bleep, right?
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay. Here, see if you can get this.
Okay.
The price is wrong, B-word.
That is Happy Gilmore!
Happy Gilmore! Celebrating its 25th anniversary right now. By the way, Chris McDonald was on my podcast a few weeks ago on the Culture Pop podcast. I emailed him today. I'm hoping, I haven't heard yet, but I'm hoping we can get him on this week. They were up to some happy and Shooter McGavin were up to some back and forth yesterday. We'll play for you a little bit later on. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. I thought that segment was awful, but decent. Decently awful.
Hey, don't worry. You'll get him next time, Mace.
No, don't worry. I'll get him next time.
Mace, no, Mace, I think we should try it again. And on top of having Jorge answer the phones, play the sound, I think we should have him play a clock with a buzzer. What do you think?
Oh, that's
and good. And have it do it all while juggling at the same time.
Yes, while juggling.
There you go.
Jorge, I know. That was a tough one. I'm sorry. Degree of difficulty very, very high.
It was a show?
I thought you nailed it. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Lindsay's got a bunch of stuff to throw at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
By the way, that last segment, that cluster fun, yeah, was brought to you by me.
We know, Mace, we know.
Lindsay, what do you got in Radio Tinder?
Oh, another exciting edition of Radio Tinder today. According to a new study, 80s pop and heavy metal are the two best genres of music to listen to when it comes to reducing blood pressure, heart rate, and anxiety. And a study of 1,500 people conducted by the Vera Clinic, participants who listened to a playlist containing mostly 80s hits saw a 36% decrease in heart rate, and 96% of them had a reduction in blood pressure.
Wow.
And then a playlist dubbed Heavy Metal Classics resulted in an average 18% decrease in heart rate, and 89% of the respondents saw their blood pressure lowered. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, techno music was the worst at reducing stress, and actually a lot of people saw their blood pressure rise after
listening to it. That's why Michael Thompson is so tense.
Exactly. So after learning all of this fruitful information, does it make you want to change your music listening habits at all? Swipe left or swipe right?
I listen to all that stuff. I listen to 80s music and classic rock, so I don't have to change it. Mace, you like that, those genres.
Oh, yeah. I listen to that 93.1 station for music. I forget what it's called. Oh, it's called Jack. It's called Jack, and it's all 80s music. It's like when I need to hear Whitney Houston, I want to dance with somebody, or Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer, or Take on Me by Aha, Take on Me. That I can go there. I love 80s music. I think the 80s, very underrated as a decade for music.
But
heavy
I
metal,
wanna know,
not for me.
Yeah, what is a heavy metal classic? Like, what is that? What's an example of a heavy metal classic?
I guess Rock You Like a Hurricane by Metallica.
That's not by Metallica.
I'm sorry, by The Scorps.
Yeah, The Scorpions. There you go.
Is that heavy? That would be heavy metal, right?
I think so. Is Metallica a heavy metal classic?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
They're hair band. All those hair bands are in there.
I don't think Metallica is a hair band. Motley
Crue,
yes.
No, Metallica came out in that era, but I don't know if they were a hair band, but they were definitely came out in that era.
Jorge is playing The Who, which is one of my favorite bands. Have you guys ever heard of them?
Of course. Is that heavy metal, though?
No.
I don't think it is.
They're Mongolian heavy metal.
It's classic rock.
No, it's not The Who, like H-W-O. It's H-U. They're a Mongolian rock band.
I have no idea who that is. I thought you were talking about The Who, the real Who.
No. They're relatively new. They're throat singers.
Now, I don't consider that to be heavy metal.
It is. It's Mongolian rock, but we can talk about a whole story
Mongolian
about them another day.
Mongolian rock. All right.
Yes,
thank you for that.
It's fantastic. They sing with their
Black
throats.
Oh, Black Sabbath would be heavy metal.
Okay, there you go. Black Sabbath. That makes sense. All right. Good to know. So there hasn't been much that has stuck around since 1994. Grunge music has mostly died out, and, you know, Friends only lasted until 2004. But one man, one baseball player, has been playing some form of pro baseball since the 1994 season, and he'll continue doing it in 2021.
Can I guess?
Sure, I'm sure you know who it is, but go ahead.
I think it's Bartolo Colon, right?
It is. Yes. 47-year-old pitcher Bartolo Colon has reached a one-year deal with the Acereros. I was close. Acereros.
He was close.
In the Liga Mexicana League, Colon began his professional career with the Appalachian League's Burlington Indians 27 years ago. Cleveland alert.
Yeah.
I remember when they drafted him, and I remember seeing him in spring training riding around on his bike because he was a little chubby back then, and he used to ride around in Winter Haven, Florida on his bicycle. Anyway, is Bartolo Colon really 47 years old? Swipe left or swipe right?
Oh, good question. See,
that is a good question.
These are always the questions that get asked when a guy comes from a foreign land.
He's like, from the DR.
Yeah, people used to say this about Vladimir Guerrero all the time. Like, how old is... And the other guy that used to get it all the time, Mace, was Adrian Beltre.
Oh,
Julio
yeah.
Franco, too. That he actually wasn't the age that he said he was for all those years.
Yeah. If I was a baseball player, I would say I was younger than I was, you know, to buy myself a few more years, wouldn't you, Mace?
Well, I mean, it's hard to hide if you are from the United States. I think it's hard to hide your age.
Right. But Bartolo Colon isn't U.S. born, is he?
No.
No, he's from, born in the DR.
Yeah.
He pitched at the age of 45 for the Rangers and went 7-12. So he was still pitching at the age of 45. He's 48 now?
47.
47.
He had a great year. I think it was in 3 years ago, the year before he retired. He had a great year.
Yeah, year in 2016, he was 15-8 with a 3.43 ERA for the Mets. So, yeah, he was very, very productive right through the age of 43. Do I believe he's really that age? I mean, with that haircut, I can't really take him at his word.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I think there was something that came out back like 15 years ago that he was actually 3 years older than he said he was, but no one ever really verified it. So I'm going to say Bartolo Colon is coming up on his 50th birthday in May. That's my guess.
That sounds about right to me, which means, by the way, makes it all the more impressive.
Because yeah, exactly.
If he is 3 years older, that means at 46, he was 15-8 with a 3.43 ERA with the Mets. That's pretty unbelievable staying power. And he rocked that hairstyle his entire career.
The Harpo Marx?
Yeah, the Harpo Marx. He rocked that the entire time. God bless him. Yeah, he had a hell of a career. How many wins did he have in his career?
Let me guess. Do you have the number in front of you?
I do.
I'm going to say he had more than 200.
247 wins.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Guys don't get 247 wins anymore.
He could hit, Lindsey, but he couldn't run. You remember that? He would get he'd hit the ball to the gap and then waddle around first base.
But it doesn't matter if you're hitting home runs.
Yeah, I remember when I was doing postgame one night at an Angel game, he was playing for the Angels, and I said to Mike Socha, I go, "What do you worry at all when you see Colon hit a ball into the gap and you know he can't run, like, you know, he's probably in a foot race with you. He probably doesn't win." And Socha looked at me and he goes, "Oh, I'd beat him." And Socha had been retired for like 10 years.
By the way, that same year he had that great year with the Mets, 2015, he hit 4 home runs.
Good for him.
Yeah, I remember one of them. I remember there was a year where like something like a ball like bounced off his belly and it was a GIF, you know, very popular GIF everywhere. I think that's kind of like the start of the baseball GIFs. But yeah, Bartolo Colon, happy birthday.
Or that backhand out he got at first.
Yeah.
By the way, the team he's playing for now is the Acereros.
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 You know what that means?
Close enough.
Steelers.
It means Steelers. Yeah.
That's right.
Yep. All right, last one here. Hall of Fame receiver Terrell Owens has never been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame before.
Wow. Even though he's in it.
And he still has no intention of going. He told Newsday, "This past weekend was further indication of why I wouldn't go. No disrespect to anybody that got in, but I just don't understand the process. Calvin Johnson got in on the first ballot. This has nothing to do with Calvin himself. The guy was a beast. But there's no justification when you have Torrey Holt and Reggie Wayne that have done equal or greater things." So T.O. has been openly critical of the Hall of Fame, you know, for years now, especially over their selection process. Do you agree with T.O.? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, swipe left. I kind of agree with him. I always think the selection process is really mysterious. All of a sudden, there's just a class. I'm not sure who's actually voting. And it seems to be somewhat random to me. So, yeah, I do understand his frustration with sort of the process being mysterious and not very transparent. At the same time, I feel bad for T.O. because he just can't let it go.
Right.
You know, he's in the Hall of Fame.
It's a bad look for him. And because he should have got in a lot earlier, he was offended. But there's politics in all Hall of Fames. You know, if you're not liked by the writers, there's a decent chance. You know, that's the whole Curt Schilling thing in baseball. T.O. was kept out for a really long time. So it's not going to be a perfect process. But I'm with you, Mace. I wish he would accept the honor and kind of embrace it, because he's one of the best receivers ever. He's going to be remembered as one of the biggest cranks ever.
Yeah, I mean, and what he's missing out on is the enjoyment of putting on a gold jacket and being with all those other legends where he belongs. You know, he accepted the gold jacket at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga before a small crowd. You know, he could have been part of all that. You can let go of your grudges. You can let go of your anger. You can let go of all that hate that you've got and actually enjoy what you've accomplished. I mean, he's one of the greatest players in the history of the game, and he was recognized. It may have taken longer, but he was recognized. Enjoy that. Embrace that. Live that up. So I feel badly for T.O. that he can't enjoy it. But, yeah, I do agree that the selection process is not exactly the most transparent. In fact, the Pro Football Hall of Fame has a 48-person selection committee. The committee consists of one media representative from each pro football city, two from New York, two from Los Angeles. Those cities have got two teams. There are 16 at-large selectors who are active members of the media. It's just a bunch of guys, a 48-person selection committee from a variety of places. So, yeah, I've never understood it. I've been at the Super Bowl. When they make that big announcement, it's really, really cool. I'm glad the guys that got in this year got in. Tom Flores, good for him. Peyton Manning, obviously. All those guys. I mean, just enjoy it. Embrace it. You got a gold jacket. All right, there you have it. Thank you very much, Lindsay. There is your Radio Tinder for today. Coming up next, for the first time this baseball season. Today is the first day of spring training.
That's right. Pitchers and catchers report today.
So for the very first time this year, and we'll see if it's the first of many, our friend Bill Plunkett will join us from the OC Register.
Are you going to continue this stupid fake feud you have with Plunkett?
This fake feud will never end. It will never end.
He's a great guy. Relax.
Coming up next for you. Mason
Take
and
your
Ireland,
own advice.
710 ESPN.